Good morning. Good morning. It's always good to be prepared, right? Yes. And on time. Yes. Amen. How are you today?
Good.
I don't know about you, but I am really looking forward to the chili. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If any of them are half as good as my wife's, good morning. Okay, it's good to see everyone here this morning. I know the chili had nothing to do with that, but are you ready for God's word?
Amen.
Amen. I would like to be able to say of myself, I am always ready to receive God's word. But the first thing I'd like to do is there any veterans here today? All right. Amen. Amen. All right. And those of you from the stream, I just want to honor you today. Thank you so much for buying our freedom. Amen? Amen. Yeah, let's really give them a round. Come on. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, I'm going to get started right away this morning with our Bible declaration, so don't get too comfortable, okay? So if you would stand up with me one more time. I will try not to ask you to get up more than one more time today. All right. Take your Bible, it's in your hand, raise it to heaven, and say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert. I'm about to receive the incorruptible. Yes, I am too. My heart is receptive. I just want to get to preaching. I'm sorry. My mind is alert. With me. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living word of God. I'll never be the same, I hope. In Jesus' name.
And,
yeah, let's go. Let's go. I'm hoping the rest of the sermon goes a little bit better than that. Okay, this morning we are in part 8 of our Fundamental Foundation series, and the message for this morning is entitled, and it's real simple, it's just called The Basics of Baptism. And as I said last week, there's no way, even though I might sound like it in the message, but there's no way that we're going to get done with this whole topic this Sunday. In fact, I've got written in my notes, you know, maybe stop here. So I'll probably stop about in that spot, okay? But anyway, it's just too much. It's too big, okay? But we can at least get started. And I also want to tell you again what I mentioned last week, and that is that this message is a lot more teaching than it is preaching, okay? So please, if you might want to take notes. If you don't, other times, this would be a good time to start. But that's entirely up to you, okay? But as we've been learning over the last number of weeks, God wants each one of us to build a strong foundation. And he wants that so we can grow in our spiritual walk with him. And in that, his desire for us is to thoroughly understand those fundamental foundations. Amen. How many of you know you can't do what you can't understand?
Amen.
Come on, come on. How many of you know that you can't do what you can't understand? All right, all right. He wants us to understand, thoroughly understand, okay, the fundamental foundation is necessary to build an effective and strong foundation. So before we start this morning, I would just really like to revisit, if you will, what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. So if you would turn there, we'll get started. Hebrews 6, 1. Are you there?
Yeah.
All right. It says this, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, then he says something interesting here. He says, let us go on to perfection. Okay? Let us go on to perfection. Now, I was going to ask Gary to come up and pray right now, but he's not here. Oh, he's back there. I guess he can come. And then I was going to ask Ron, and he's somewhere. I was going to ask my wife, and she's somewhere. Gary, go ahead. Yeah, come on, please.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that today, God, you would just have your way in this place.
Jesus.
Father, that you would take any distraction, God, that is present and just remove it from us, Lord. Let us focus on your word today, God. Let us focus on the teaching today and change our lives, God. Change our, whatever you need to change, Lord, whether it's our hearts, our minds, Father, that you would do that. Father, we thank you for Pastor Wes, God. I pray that as he preaches today, Lord, that he would just have clarity to say what you want him to say, Father, and that your word will just come forth with all the power that it has. In Jesus' name, the church said.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. In my experience as a Christian, and as a pastor or whatever, I think that Christians almost instinctively, if you will, that they really want to move on to higher and deeper dimensions in the Lord. How many of you agree with me? We understand in the truth through experience, okay, that there is no such thing as biding your time with God. That doesn't happen. That doesn't work. Either you're growing every day or you're falling away. Hello? It is the truth. You try to do it any other way, it won't work, okay? And who knows, maybe that's just a word for somebody today. You know, Jesus is for every day. Amen? He's for every day. And it's every day that we have to, you know, consciously submit and commit our lives to him. Amen? Not for salvation, but to get through the day in an honoring way, okay? Okay. But we understand through experience that you can fall away if you don't keep seeking. And as we have been learning together as a church, you can't grow in a healthy way until you first have the foundational principles firmly set in place. Okay? It is really okay. Those foundational principles are the elementary principles of Christ that are mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, 1 through 3. So just to review a little bit this morning, it would be good for us to answer once again the question, why is a spiritual foundation and the proper formation of that foundation so important to us as Christians? Why is it? And I'll tell you why. Because just like a house or just like a building that people build, if the foundation of that building isn't built properly and on the right things, all right, that structure that is built on top of that foundation could become unstable and eventually falter. Amen? Are you with me with that? For the Christian, you know, this instability could cause their lives to lean to one side or the other instead of standing firm and strong in the Lord. Amen? Well, it's true. In other words, a flawed foundation will result in a flawed finished construction. Just read that up there. I think it's up there. A flawed foundation will result in a flawed finished construction. You can't build on a faulty foundation and have it turn out all right. All right. Okay. Either that or unstable construction at the foundation equals unstable built building on that foundation. That's the way it is. Unfortunately, as I'm sure we've all seen, that's often what we see happening in Christian spiritual lives. It really is. They try to move so fast, and maybe you tried to move so fast. You know, you wanted to get mature. You wanted to be up there as a Christian, right? But people, they try to move so fast before that foundation is firmly set in place. And then as they endeavor to move along in their Christian lives, they make wrong spiritual calculations and wrong spiritual decisions that brings instability into their walk. And they veer off course. Amen? They veer off course. Completely off course. They end up out in East Jesus somewhere. Come on. Yep. We all know somebody that's out in East Jesus somewhere. Amen? All right. Or they end up totally backslidden. Totally backslidden. Are you with me? For example, if you don't know what the Bible teaches you about morality and about relationships, then you could very easily make wrong life decisions. Amen? That could bring compromise to you as a Christian. And your compromise with the truth could eventually, it doesn't happen right away, but it could eventually cause you to make wrong moral decisions and wrong ethical decisions or wrong doctrinal decisions that would ultimately cause you to grow away from God rather than what you're trying to do, and that is grow nearer to God. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. And I said this last week, but this was so, I don't think I remember anything I preached last week other than this, okay? And that was this, and I think I said it like this then. Let me throw this in for free, okay? If you think even for a moment, that you can maintain or even have a relationship with God without the or outside of the reading of and studying of His Word, amen? Come on, this is truth, people. Then you're sadly mistaken. If you think you can maintain that relationship, if you think you can grow in that relationship without reading His Word, you are sadly, sadly, sadly mistaken. God's Word tells us who God is, and it tells us what God expects. And our relationship with Him depends on our relationship with His Word. Amen? You know, a Christian that is reading His Word is ever being sanctified. In other words, he's ever getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. Somebody who isn't reading His Word, I'm sorry. You know, it isn't all about what happens here on a Sunday morning. It's what happens in your life through the Word of God and through prayer all week long. Right? This is great. This is wonderful. We get to celebrate and maybe learn something, you know. But you know, it's really all about the everyday Christian, the everyday doing it. Amen. But the lack of a firm foundation, okay, and the lack of understanding the fundamentals needed for that firm foundation will take you down a road that you don't want to go down. Okay? You don't want to go down. The road to compromise is so scary because it just keeps getting worse and worse, and you just keep going and going and going. And you get just so much compromise in you that the compromise calls to compromise, and you're gone. Anyway, that lack of a firm foundation will take you somewhere you don't want to be. So where do you find these fundamentals? These fundamentals that are so important. Guess what? You find them in the Word of God. Amen? Okay. Now, on the other hand, when a believer is well-established in biblical truth, and they have made that truth their spiritual foundation, then they have a solid platform on which to build their life in Christ. Okay? It won't bite them somewhere along the line. You guys act like you don't know what I'm talking about. How many of you have said in your heart before, gosh, I just feel like I missed something growing up. I missed something in, you know, foundational. You know, maybe you did miss something foundational. There's no shame in that. But that's what this series is about. God wants you to know these foundations so you can be, you know, stand stronger and firmer than you ever did before. Anyway, that's why Hebrews 6:1 goes on to say, let's go on to perfection, all right? The word that's translated perfection is the Greek word teleotos, which shows us that God's intention for us is to move us along or to graduate levels in our relationship with Him. And this means this, this God's intention that no one, absolutely no one, gets stuck in first or second or third or any grade, for that matter. His heart, I mean, I praise God for God's heart. Amen? Amen? His heart is that everyone, say everyone. Everyone. His heart is that everyone of His children to be continually moving upward and onward, leading them towards that perfection of being totally in Him. Amen? You got to know this. There's always, and hear this, please. There's always another realm of growth for every child of God. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying this. We never get there. We're just always going there. Amen. And if any Christian tells you other than that, you know, that maybe they're dead already, all right? Hear me. There's always more growth to have. Well, I've read the Bible. I don't have to read it again. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Anyway, okay, let's move on this morning and look at the last elementary principle that's listed in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. That the Holy Spirit, and please understand this, there isn't a single one of these principles that's lesser important than the one before. It isn't in chronological order, if you know what I'm saying. Every one of the principles are foundational and as important as the last one. Okay. Let's read our text for today. So if you would please turn with me to Hebrews 6, chapter 1 and 2 verses. Or are you going to, you can just look up here if you want to. But I know that you're feverishly writing notes in your Bible. You know, that's really a good place to write them, because then you might read them again. No, sorry. Amen. All right, Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Notice something that it says here, all right? And you really have to be focusing to notice this, but it says this, the doctrine of baptisms.
Amen.
Baptisms. It doesn't say the doctrine of baptism singular. No, it specifically says, I think the Bible says everything specifically, don't you? Amen. It specifically says the doctrine of baptisms, plural. You know, but wait a minute here. I mean, come on. In Ephesians 4, 5, the Apostle Paul wrote that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
Amen.
One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So we see that according to one verse, the Bible tells us that there is one baptism, right? All right. And in the other, it says there are multiple baptisms. Oh, no. So you have to wonder, hey, you know, and maybe somebody could even go to you and say, your Bible's conflicted. It's just not, you know, there's something wrong here. But you can relax, okay? You can just relax, all right? There's no conflict here, nor will you find a conflict in the Scriptures anywhere, all right? You just need to understand what Paul is referring to when he said, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, all right? The one baptism that Paul wrote about in this verse is this divine transaction, if you will, that occurs at the very moment a person gets saved. At the very moment you said, Lord, I accept you. Lord, come into my heart. Lord, I want it different. I want it your way. It's a divine transaction. We're going to cover all three baptisms, okay, that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6. But before we go any further, first, I want to give you some insight this morning into the word baptism. And I'm sure most of you know this, but it's the word baptizo, okay? And it means to go out to the lake and dunk someone under the water. No, that isn't exactly what it means. It means that you have to go in a baptismal in a church and totally go under and then, right? No. You guys must want chili awful bad. Baptizo, and this is really cool, it means to wash, to dip, or to be fully immersed by someone into something. Now, for you and I, that something has always been water, right? We get baptized in water. But the oldest historical usage of this Greek word baptizo actually described a person that did this. They wanted to dye their garment, okay? They wanted to change the color of a piece of clothing. That person, would take their piece of clothing and they'd put it into a vat of dye and then leave it there long enough for that material to become saturated with the dye, all right? And when the person finally extracted the garment from the garment would be so saturated with the dye, all right, that it came out of the vat a brand new color, And it looked completely different than it used to before it was dipped into the dye. Amen? All right. You see, the original meaning of the Greek word baptizo is to dip and dye. To dip and dye. That's a literal translation of it, dip and dye. And that's exactly what happens to you and I spiritually. Glory to God. All right. When we come to Christ, at the moment of salvation, when we repent and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are instantaneously dipped and saturated and submerged with the precious blood of Christ. Glory be to God. And that's what it says in Romans chapter 6. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us so completely and changes us so thoroughly that we become brand new creations, like that garment. That garment was one color, then it became another. It didn't look like it used to. We don't even look like we used to, people. Glory to God. We become brand new creations. So, this is what it's really saying, okay? Just like a garment that was dipped and dyed, we are nothing like who we were before we were dipped and dyed. In fact, we don't even look the same, as I said. So I want you to just keep that meaning of baptism kind of in the back of your mind as we move on here, okay? And we learn what Paul really meant when he wrote that there is only one baptism, which, by the way, this baptism that he wrote about is the only baptism that you have to have, okay? That you have to have. All right, but before we go any further, and this is what I mean by it, it's more of a teaching, but before we go any further, we have to understand that for any kind of baptism to take place or occur, three things are needed, okay? First, there has to be a baptizer, amen? Then there has to be a person who is being baptized. And thirdly, there must be a substance into which the person is being baptized, right? All three of those requirements are essential elements in any kind of baptism. You have to have those things. But the first baptism, all right, the one Paul referred to in Ephesians 4:5 when he wrote one Lord, one faith, one baptism, occurs in the life of every single Christian at the very moment he or she comes to faith in Christ. And I want you to get this and understand this. This initial baptism, all right, is performed by the Holy Spirit, who in this case would be called the baptizer, or the one doing the baptizing. The first supernatural baptism doesn't require your participation, it requires your surrender. All right? The first baptism doesn't require your participation, it requires your surrender. It's something that is just so supernatural that takes place the moment you repent and receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. And so many things change at that point. But in that split second, and without you even being aware that it's taking place, the Holy Spirit himself baptizes or immerses you where? In Christ, in the body of Christ, in the blood of Christ. Glory be to God. This is such a wonderful thing that I had never thought of before, that I am baptized in the blood of Christ. I'm not just sprinkled with the blood of Christ. Glory to God. I've been baptized by the blood of Christ. And that ought to get you excited too. But in that split second, this all happens. And Paul referred to the supernatural act in 1 Corinthians 12:13 when he said, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews, Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." And again, Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." All right? Have put on Christ. Let me say it again, okay? There is nothing, say nothing. There is nothing that we do to receive this baptism except to repent, receive, and surrender. And we get baptized. And it's amazing to think just at that point, though you're washed with the blood of Christ, there's so many things still going on in your life. He dipped and dyed you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? That's awesome. That's awesome to me. So you realize and understand what the first baptism is. It's when we get saved and We get baptized by the blood of Christ. We get covered. How many of you are just happy today that the blood of Christ covers every spot of your body, every point? All right. Now we're going to go on to the second baptism. All right. The second baptism is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And all that's required to receive that is salvation, spiritual hunger, and faith. All right? And when it's received, the result is, seriously, a supernatural power. In this case, the baptizer is Jesus, and the medium or the substance into which the person is baptized is the Holy Spirit. Okay? We see this in what John the Baptist said about Jesus in Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. What does it say? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And then Jesus, in essence, repeated John's word when he was preaching and preparing to ascend into heaven. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be, what? Baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. What Jesus prophesied about, all right, happened on the day of Pentecost, when the 120 that we read about was gathered in the upper room, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the result was that they spoke in tongues. Are you with me?
Yeah,
all right. I think there's been a lot of misunderstanding where tongues is concerned by Pentecostals and non-Pentecostals, but, you know, it's just so many people have taught things that are, okay. Anyway, what Jesus prophesied happened on the day of Pentecost, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke in tongues. But it's important to note here, please, that Jesus only baptizes believers in the Holy Spirit who have already been baptized by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right? Into his body. In other words, those who have already received the first baptism, which is being soaked in the blood, covered in the blood, are the ones who are eligible, if you will, to receive the second baptism. Are you with me?
Amen.
Why would you want the baptism in the Holy Spirit if you weren't saved? Okay, it's almost a moot point, but not quite. All right? Please, please, remember, so your chili tastes better today, okay? Please remember this, all right? It is not a requirement to make it to heaven. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a requirement to make it to heaven. But the question is often asked, do you believe you have to speak in tongues in order to go to heaven? No, I don't believe that. You know why I don't believe that? Because it doesn't say that in the Bible, and I don't believe it if it isn't said in the Bible. Amen? I mean, that's the way it is. Don't believe that. Don't ever think for a million years that I am saying that, because I am not. In fact, you can live your entire Christian life and be fruitful and never be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But please hear this, all right? Even though, speaking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, all right, the second baptism, even though the second one is not essential for salvation, I don't think you should really leave it up as an option. Let me say that a little clearer, okay? I don't believe that we should view that as being an option. And that happens way too often in the church. And I'm not boo-hooing whoever's done that. I'm just saying to you, you know, you don't know what you're missing. You don't understand what you're missing. But understand this, okay? Though you don't need him to get to heaven, you don't need the second baptism to get to heaven, we shouldn't just look at them and say they're optional, because the early church never viewed them as optional. And they remain as critical today as they were yesterday for the building of a strong foundation.
Amen.
And I believe the baptism in the Holy Spirit is necessary for one thing, and that's to walk in God's power.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
To walk in God's power.
Amen.
I got in my notes right there, maybe I should stop here. And I think I will stop here, because the problem with stopping in the middle of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, people get the wrong idea, okay? I've seen people that's baptized in the Holy Spirit that are jerks. I can watch them speak in tongues and they're just plain jerks. Now, it doesn't mean if you speak in tongues, you're a jerk. Okay. Okay. And I don't want to go into any more detail on that until we get into it next week. But next week, we'll talk about a little more about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then we'll talk about the baptism that you and I are most familiar with. Okay? All right. And then we'll have to go on to another series somewhere. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are so good, so good. You're so good to baptize us in Christ's blood so that we can be a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And you are so good to baptize us in your Spirit. And Lord, I would pray right now that for anybody here that maybe isn't baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? I pray, God, that this week you would give them a desire for that. Maybe they've endeavored to be baptized in the Holy Spirit before and it never came to fruition. God, I pray that this week would be a week of seeking for that,
yes.
For receiving that,